السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. یا ایہا الذین آمنوا اتقوا اللہ وقولوا قولا سدیدا یصلح لکم اعمالکم ویغفر لکم ذنوبکم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم النكاح من سنتي. وقد قال فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني او كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, once again it's a Juma occasion and we have had a nikah, and a little while earlier there was a mayyat, there was a janaza. So on the one hand we have nikahs and on the other hand we have janazas. Both things go together. جہاں شادیاں تھی وہیں اب ہے ماتم, جگہ جی لگانے کی دنیا نہیں ہے. جگہ جی لگانے کی دنیا نہیں ہے, یہ عبرت کی جا ہے تماشا نہیں ہے. جہاں شادیاں تھی وہیں اب ہے ماتم. ویئر ایور دیر از گوئنگ ٹو بی اے نکاح, آفٹر سم ٹائم دیر از گوئنگ ٹو بی سم میت آلسو. دیٹ از لائف. Those same homes in which there's going to be celebration, there's going to be enjoyment, there's going to be happiness, there's going to be some kind of festivity, of course within the parameters of Sharia, on a nikah occasion, it is definitely necessary to express happiness, to express joy, because it's a great ni'mat and a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person is allowed to marry a woman. Taking the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the person marries. It's with the permission of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Otherwise, even if all the governments of the world gave us permission to do so, but if Allah ta'ala had said no, for a Muslim, in this world there is no such thing as enjoyment of any kind. He must just have one slice of dry bread and go to bed. And on Qiyamat day, in Jannat, Allah ta'ala will give all the ni'mat. Then too that would have been a great blessing, because for the mu'min and Muslim what Allah Ta'ala has prepared in Jannat is ma la aynun ra'at wa la uzunun sami'at wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar, which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, the thought also hasn't crossed anybody's mind. It's just that nowadays we don't want to read about Jannat, paradise, what Allah Ta'ala has got for the believers. So even if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had to limit it just to some dry bread and water, then too we would have said that that is a great blessing of Allah Ta'ala that He permitted us to do that. However, look at Allah Ta'ala's ihsanat and fazl and kindness upon the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that how many things Allah Ta'ala made halal. In one of my bayans I mentioned that if you look at the fish of the sea, everything halal. If you look at the fruits, everything halal. If you look at the vegetable, all halal. Even in meat, if you look at the different animals, those animals whose flesh was beneficial, it was not going to harm the person, like the flesh of a pig that was going to harm, so Allah Ta'ala prohibited it. But otherwise a camel, the meat of the camel is halal, the meat of the goat is halal, sheep halal. In the same way, so many other animals Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made halal. So many things. If you look at the enjoyment in life, also there are so many things that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made permissible. It's a whole subject. He didn't restrict us and make us narrowed and tightened. But yes, those pleasures which bring the displeasure of Allah ta'ala, those pleasures which cause the displeasure of Allah ta'ala, the wrath and anger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that He is the one who is blessing us with our sight, with our hearing, with our speech and our heart, liver and lungs all functioning and all the namats and bounties, and then we use the very same thing to displease him. So that is objectionable. But otherwise, if the person is making use of the halal namats, who has said that it is not permissible? So like that, nikah is one of those things, that the enjoyment that the person gets in nikah. Now that is a reminder of the enjoyment of jannat. Therefore, any namat, any blessing in this world, if a person has a beautiful home, it must not make him forget jannat. If a person has a beautiful garden, then it must make him remind him more of the gardens of jannat. If a person has a beautiful wife, it must remind him of the hoors of jannat. If a person has any namat in this world, then it must be a reminder of the namats of jannat and make him increase his ibadat, his worship, his obedience to Allah Ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So if a person lives within that parameter, then he will enjoy the best things of this world and the best things of the hereafter. He will get both worlds. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in many of his du'as, and even if you have to look at the Quran Sharif, we are told, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanah wa fil akhirati hasanah wa qina azab an-nar. Oh my sustainer, the word is used is Rabb, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the one who nourished him, who sustained him, who nurtured him while she was in the mother's stomach. Who else provided for him in the mother's stomach? Have we ever heard of anybody's factory that works in total darkness? Works in total darkness, the factory, and produces the miracles that we see, the birth of a baby, it's a miracle. But because it happens every day in different homes, therefore we don't even look at it, that what a miracle it is. Now where was this beautiful baby produced? In the factory of the mother's stomach. Total darkness. Now who is there that is connecting the heart and the liver and the lungs? And billions of people came into this world. No two persons' thumbprints are the same. So much so that even if there's a mother that has brought into this world 20 children, then to all 20 children will come with different thumbprints. And nobody has informed that mother or that child in the stomach that there's already one in this world with this print, so you must come with a different print. And now they've gone even further that the eyes of people are different. Look at the iris of the person's eye. Even that now they can scan and tell you that this is a different person when you are going to the airports and checking in. Different things. So this is a great bounty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is His qudrat and His power that He is showing. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala brings the person into this world. So there is no other way but to obey that same Allah ta'ala. So when it comes to nikah also, it is one of those blessings of Allah ta'ala. Therefore we say, Rabbana, our Rabb, who is our sustainer, the one who sustained us all along. Even now, if we are earning anything, I've mentioned many times, if the person will say, I worked very, very hard and I earned it. If you worked very, very hard, then where did you bring the intelligence from? If the person didn't have aqal, if he didn't have any intelligence, could he have ever done what he has done in life? Then he would have been in a madhouse. So if he worked very hard, the strength in his body came from Allah Ta'ala. The food that he ate came from Allah Ta'ala. The intelligence came from Allah Ta'ala. So we will say it is Allah Ta'ala who provided. And if the person says that, I received it as a gift, then we'll say as a gift, then who is the one that put into the heart of that person to give you that as a gift? Why did he not go and give it to somebody else? What made Allah Tabaraka, what made that friendship develop between the two? And if the person says, I got it as inheritance, then why is it that inheritance, or why is it that that person was born, or who caused him to be born in the palace of a king, and now he's inheriting a palace or he's inheriting the oil wells? It is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who chose that he's going to be born there, therefore he's inheriting. So whichever way you look at it, it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's ni'mat. So this marriage also, now we are asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. And one of the tafsirs of that fid dunya hasana is al-mar'atu saliha wa zawjatu saliha. A nice, pious, righteous wife is one of the tafsirs of that atina fid dunya hasana. That, oh Allah, in this world, give me a good wife, a pious wife, a righteous wife. And because it's zawj, it can be used for both sides. So therefore, even the women folk, they are making this dua that, oh Allah, bless me with a pious and a righteous husband. Because if the pious husband, if the husband is pious, then he will be able to appreciate that this is a great ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has blessed me with. So he will keep his head cool and calm. He will not lose himself. His fuse is not going to blow over little things. He will realize and understand that this woman gave up her home. She gave up her wife. She gave up her family. She gave up her parents. Sometimes she is brought up with so much of care and affection and compassion and mercy and kindness by those parents. And now those parents with a heavy heart, they are giving that daughter to somebody that they sometimes do not even know who he is. What is his background? They do not even know what kind of a temper he has. They do not even know what is his lifestyle. At the most, sometimes they just get to know through some friends that this person is very good. Or they look at his outward piety and say, give your daughter here. Because he's a wonderful person. We can see he looks very, very pious. But it's only after marriage when the wife suddenly realizes that it was outward piety and the person was heavy on drugs. Or the person has got such kind of bad habits that he's watching till late night all the porn films and the filthy sights. All these things only emerge afterwards. Then she comes to know. And then she informs the parents that I'm going through this suffering and that suffering. And sometimes the other way around, that looking at the outward piety of the woman, the person feels that she's a pious woman. If anybody asks, how do you know she's pious? He says, no, they said she makes 5 times namaz and she's also in cloak. So therefore she must be pious. Now these are things of outward piety and they're necessary. We must not say it's not necessary. You can have a huge plane load of passengers wanting to leave for Hajj. The aeroplane is a brand new one, just arrived on the tarmac. But the only thing is that it's got no tires after that. Somebody stole the tires. Because we are living in a country where they even steal the whole aeroplane. So what about the tires? So somebody stole the tires. Now will that aeroplane ever take off? Now if somebody says that no, those tires are just a small part of the aeroplane. It's a huge brand new plane with a brand new engine. So what does it matter if it doesn't have tires? But we all know that it's not going to take off. So those people who say the outward is not necessary, they are also wrong. The outward is also necessary. How else are we going to be identified as a Muslim? We must be identified. We say must make salam to everybody. Must make salam to everybody. Whether the person is white or black, whether he is known to us or not known to us. What is this that we only make salam to the person that is known to us or if he's got some big bank balance? We must make salam to everybody. However, sometimes the person is not recognized as a Muslim, then how are we going to make salam? So the outward is also necessary. To take off, we need the outward also. But that is not the sole thing that we are going to look at. It is the heart that has to have taqwa in it, has to have piety in it. So now that we look sometimes at the outward and get the person married, now the wife looked at the outward of the husband. So both things are required. So therefore we say, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Oh Allah, bless me. One of the tafsirs is that bless me besides the other things, bless me with a pious and a righteous partner in life. And that is exactly what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned on one occasion when the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, if we had only known what is good wealth, then we would have invested in it. I'm talking in today's language. Just give you an explanation. That if I had known what it was, then I would have invested in that. That how if somebody gives you a very good company to invest in? They say, these shares are very good. They will never collapse. However, after some crash, that's the end of everything. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was asked also in the same manner, in the same light, that what is that wealth which is excellent kind of an investment? We'll invest in that. One brother was in very heavy debts and his brother came across some good investment. So he phoned to his brother and he said, you must find some money and invest in these shares. Otherwise you lose out. He says, but I've got no money and I'm owing a lot of people money. He says, no, but this shares you'll never get again. So he phoned me and he said that this is what my brother is saying. He's putting pressure on me that get some kind of money and put it in there. So I phoned his brother and I spoke to him, known to me. I said, at present your brother does not have enough money to invest in a good vest. Where is he going to invest in shares? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Afzaluhu lisanun dhakirun wa qalbun shakirun wa zawjatun mu'minatun tu'inuhu ala imanihi aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Ha, what beautiful nasihat. Now, it doesn't mean that he just stopped them from investing in good shares in our times, as we will say, to invest in the marketplace or to buy some stuffs and sell and make some money. Nothing is haram if it is within the parameters of Sharia. But he was trying to divert their attention that there's something much more than that. This is something that anybody can look at the market and with a little bit of intelligence and understand that what is good and bad. But he was diverting their attention. Afzaluhu lisanun zakirun. The best is that tongue which is engaged in the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That tongue which is engaged in the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that is the best share to invest in today's learning. Wa qalbun shakirun, and that heart which has got gratitude to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Over all the ni'mats and blessings, the person has got gratitude. He doesn't have greed in him. He's got contentment. Because everyone is not going to get the same amount of wealth in this world. If everybody was multi-rich, will anybody work for anyone? Will anybody sweep our streets? Will anybody wash our cars? They will say, why must I wash your car? You wash my car. Why must I polish your boot? You polish my boot. Because I got equal amount of money too. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's system is such that he made some rich, some poor, he gave somebody more, somebody less. But that was not the criterion to judge that this person is beloved to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala just because he's got plentiful or he hasn't got anything. Whether he's got plentiful or he's got nothing, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala judges on how much of taqwa and piety the person has got. A person can be in a shack and he can be a black person and he's a Muslim and he's a believer in Allah ta'ala. And he could be like Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, whom Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to say, Sayyidina Bilal. That is the kind of respect he had. So it is not the color of the person, it is not the wealth. If a person has plentiful, like Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, or Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala, plentiful, then too they are close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the criterion is how much of taqwa the person has got. So therefore here, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَقَلْبٌ شَاكِرٌ, that the person has got a heart in which there is gratitude. The person must be grateful to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If a person has got one hand missing, then he must know there's some people in this world who don't have two hands. If a person has got one leg missing, he must know in this world there are people who don't have 2 feet. If a person has got one eye functioning and seeing, then he must know there are lots of people totally blind. We will always find somebody that has got less than what we have. So looking at those things, the person makes shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, I am grateful to you that you have blessed me with this, blessed me with that. And as far as we are concerned, the majority of us, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us so much sight, hearing, speech, heart, liver, lungs, everything functioning, and many are fit and healthy, nothing, no problem. So how much of shukr we must make? So the more shukr we are going to make, the more shukr we are going to make to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the more He's going to increase the ni'mat. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. So وَقَلْبٌ شَاكِرٌ. And the third thing, of course, each one is a subject on throat. And the third thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned was زَوْجَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ تُعِينُهُ عَلَىٰ إِمَانِهِ. And the person has got a pious, righteous wife. That is the best investment. That is the best kind of wealth that you can think of. That he's got a pious and a righteous wife. And she is an assistant to him in his deen. She doesn't want to take him to the cinemas and theaters and discos and nightclubs. She is not one who is engaged in chit-chat lines and mix it and caught up in all her kinds of fitnas in her private life. She is one who is pious and she also assists this husband in his piety. Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali says, for example, reminding the person about his salat, that she reminds him about his fast, she reminds him about his zakat, she reminds him about his akhlaq. Now all these type of things the wife reminds him. But these days when the wife tries to remind the husband, then he becomes annoyed, offended, displeased. He says, who are you to tell me? I am the authority. I am the authority. Therefore, who are you to tell me? So it's both ways, that the person must ask for a good wife, and the women must ask for a good husband, pious husband, righteous husband, so that if she is weak and negligent, then he also reminds her, but with hikmah, with diplomacy, with kindness, with compassion, with great love and feeling. It's not like I'll whip you and I'll hit you and beat you and change now and now overnight. It's not like that. Everything is gradual. Sometimes that woman has not had an environment. She has come from a home in which there was no environment of deen. And the husband, after some time in his life, he got a good environment and he changed. And sometimes it's the other way around. So there has to be a balance in life. These days we are just dealing daily. The other day I had some visitors, and within that 1 hour, there must have been 5 cases of marital problems. Nothing but fight. World War III, IV, and V is also finished as if in those homes. Now what is that? Is that marriage? Therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us intelligence, He has given us deen, He has given us the beautiful teachings of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the husbands must fulfill the rights of the wives. The wives must fulfill the rights of the husband. Then that home will become Jannat and paradise on earth. That home in which the husband and wife are living in peace and harmony, as I gave that example, and I will conclude on that, of one sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that when Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala an, that on one occasion he started tearing and crying. So his wife also started tearing, she also started crying. So he asked her that, why are you crying? She says, whatever makes you cry makes me cry. And I have repeatedly said that, look at their love relationship, how they loved each other. What kind of relationship they must be having, that she didn't even ask the husband that, oh my dear husband, what is it that make you cry? Is there a financial problem? Have you got pain in your chest or leg or head? Or have you got some other kind of trouble? Nothing. She didn't even ask. She started immediately tearing and crying. And said, whatever makes you cry makes me cry. So then he said, what makes me cry is that how I'm going to cross the pul sirat on the day of Qiyamah. That's what makes me cry. But look at that relationship, that's what I'm talking about. So when husband and wife are attached in that manner, then that home will definitely be Jannat and paradise on earth. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless this marriage and all other nikahs that have taken place, all those who are married. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must put compassion, love, kindness, muhabbat, mercy, affection for each other. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must bless them with the best of dunya and akhirat. And this marriage also Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must bless with barakat, with rahmat. Allah ta'ala must remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and suffering of the ummah around the globe and of mankind around the globe. Look at the ash, what kind of damage it has caused. Billions and billions of dollars. Nobody can do anything about it. All the technology has come to a standstill and failed. Allah ta'ala is showing His qudrat. Therefore, we must ask Allah ta'ala for protection from different kinds of calamities. Wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.